to know him for myself and be able to say that he is my King, my Lord, my God, my everything. If we just trust in him, we find out exactly who he is. As Peter would say, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I can say today without a doubt, I have tasted that the Lord is gracious and he has been good and kind. Amen. Well, this morning, as we know, it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. I appreciate the sacrifice that motherhood takes. And, you know, we got one day a year that we really stand out and make notice of this. But really, motherhood is a job that takes full commitment every day. And even when the children get grown, it's still a mother. Still the prayers, still the thoughts, still the care that goes into it. And I just want to say thank you to the women who have raised your children and have been a true mother to them. And today for our Mother's Day, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Very familiar reading. We often talk about it. And if we're honest, these verses present the highest and best qualities of a godly wife and mother. They paint a portrait of strength, of wisdom, of faithfulness, of compassion, of diligence, and of godly influence. And how many are thankful for the mother you had and the influence that they had in your life? Oh, I thank God for it. My mother, my adopted mother, she poured love into my life. And I told her earlier this week, I found something, it was a video, and it was talking about those who chose to be mothers. And I just sent it to her, and I said, thank you for making that choice. Not because I was born to her, but because she chose to treat me in that way. And I thank God for that. I know what, apart from that, I would not have known that love in this life anyway, or at least physically, but I did know it because of the choice that was made. But if we're not careful, we can read chapter 31 of Proverbs, and we read it in the wrong way, because many women, Proverbs 31 presents almost an intimidation factor. The picture seems so lofty, so complete, and so beyond reach that instead of inspiring, it can actually discourage. Any of you ladies ever read Proverbs 31 and you said, man, I could stand to work right there in that area, okay? Well, that's okay if you have, because really Proverbs 31 is meant to do that for us. Proverbs 31 was never meant to be a crushing burden, but rather it was meant to be a vision of wisdom lived out in everyday life. After all, why would this great book of wisdom end with a poem about a woman? Have you ever thought about that? You know, the book of Proverbs tells us all this wisdom. After 30 chapters of wisdom and what wisdom looks like and what the absence of wisdom looks like, and then we get to chapter 31, and the last words of this book on wisdom, we read about this virtuous woman. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, because this woman here in Proverbs 31 is not disconnected from the message of Proverbs, but rather she is the embodiment of all that Proverbs has taught us so far. From Proverbs 1 onward, wisdom has often been personified as a woman crying out in the streets, calling out to people to live righteously, telling them the truth, working diligently, all practicing discernment and living in the fear of the Lord. Those are all things that the writer or Solomon would tell us about wisdom. But when we come to Proverbs 31, we find this fleshed out in a real example. About 3 weeks ago, I was personal reading. I come across Proverbs 31, and I have been spending a lot of time in this book, in my personal time, just going through studying it. And when I got to the end of it, I began to just, one commentator made a note about it, and I wrote it down, and I said, man, it is so true. When we come to Proverbs 31, all that Solomon had taught in the beginning now is fleshed out. And a real life example of this ideal woman. And in many ways, the this is exactly what godly mothers do. They take biblical truth and they turn it into everyday practical living. If you had a good mother, that's what she did. If you had a godly mother, that's what she did, or what she continues to do if she is still living. They embody wisdom before their children, long before those children can ever fully explain the truth that she is living. In fact, as we're getting ready to read, beginning here in verse number 10, I also discovered in my study that on every, and still today, in devout Jewish families, when they sit down on Friday evening, going into the reverence of Shabbat, or the Sabbath time, they will sit down and the father of the household will stand up and he will either read or sing Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, over his wife, and as a blessing and as a sign of thankfulness for what she's done. Now, I don't know if any of y'all want to adopt that. Any of you men, if you want to adopt reading Proverbs 31 every Friday, I'll just give you a little word of advice. Don't do it in a condescending manner, okay? She's like this, but this is how you... No, don't do that, okay? If you decide to adopt the tradition. But at the close of the week, before the family enters their worship of Sabbath and rest, the woman of the home is honored for her faithfulness, her sacrifice, her labor, her strength, and her devotion by the reading or the singing of these verses. And let's read it together as we consider it. Proverbs 31, verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Oh, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself the coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. Oh, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Oh, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. We'll stop right there this morning at the end of the book of Proverbs. And I just want to talk about this lady wisdom this morning. Father, thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your word today as we come to this passage on Mother's Day. I pray that you'd help me to draw a connection between what Proverbs teaches us about wisdom and how this wisdom is embodied in this ideal woman of Proverbs chapter 31. Lord, and as we look at this today, I pray that every woman here under the sound of my voice, oh, would ask you personally, Lord, help us to flesh out wisdom in front of our families. If we have young children, for them to see it in the way that we live. If the children are grown or whatever the situation may be, even women who may not have children here this morning, oh, can still be the embodiment of wisdom as declared here in Proverbs 31. Lord, help us and let your wisdom come to life in us. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. As I just said, I want to draw this connection between what Proverbs teaches about wisdom and how this wisdom is actually embodied in the ideal woman of Proverbs 31. I only want to give you four things. There's a lot of things we could talk about here in Proverbs 31, but I'm going to give you four things specifically that I want to highlight within these verses we just read. Number one, this woman is, or she is, valuable. Or she has value. Notice, if you got your Bibles there, go back to chapter number 8 and verse number 11. And I want to highlight and connect it to Proverbs 31 verse number 10. Proverbs 8 and verse 11 says this, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not compared to it." Solomon made it very clear that wisdom is one of those things that you cannot put a price tag upon. It has a value beyond what we would call or term valuable. But then in Proverbs 31 and verse number 10, writing about this ideal woman, oh, we come back to this theme of value, and there he says, who can find a virtuous woman, or a good wife, as some translations render it, for her price is far above rubies. Oh, in chapter number 8, he said that wisdom itself is valuable above rubies, and in chapter 31, he says this good, virtuous woman, her value is also far above rubies. This connection here is very intentional. And you say, well, why is it so intentional? Because the woman of Proverbs 31 embodies wisdom itself. Her value is not merely in her outward beauty, but her productivity or her domestic ability to be able to keep up her home. Her value goes beyond that. Her true worth is rooted in her godly character and in the wisdom that that character brings. As we think about this, let's consider for a moment the value of wisdom itself. Oh, the world often measures a woman's value by her appearance, by her success, by her wealth, by her charm, and even by her popularity. These are things that the world measures women's value by. That's why they put them on the, it used to be on the pages of magazines, but now it's on the commercial ads, and they have this certain charm, or this certain success, or this certain persona of wealth. But Proverbs uses a different metric to judge value, doesn't it? The wise and virtuous woman possesses something of greater value than earthly treasure. Oh, if we have godly women, and I know we do in this church this morning, I would tell you this, it is not measured by the world's metric or value system, but rather it is measured by God's value system. Notice the opening question that is asked here. Who can find a virtuous woman? This is not suggesting that a virtuous woman does not exist. I want to highlight that. He's not saying they don't exist, that they're like unicorns and you can look for them, but you'll never find one. Oh, he's not suggesting that when he asks the question, but rather it is an emphasis on how rare and how precious a virtuous woman actually is. In other words, if I could put it this way, he's reminding them, oh, you can find a virtuous woman, but when you do, you better understand the rarity and the value that is associated with this. Rubies are rare, right? Oh, gold is precious. Jewels are treasured. These things are both rare and they bring riches to the one who finds them. This is the point of connection where it all comes together to the virtuous woman here. You don't find her anywhere and everywhere, but a search has to be made. And when she is found, there should be recognition and appreciation that you have found something that is rare. That's why we have Mother's Day. It's a recognition that good, godly mothers are rare and they are precious. They are something of value. Women who have character are something of value, as well as men also. You don't find this type of person anywhere and everywhere. Like rubies, a search has to be made. Or you might have to dig beneath the surface. You might have to throw away a bunch of rocks and worthless material before you find this precious gem. And this is how the writer is describing the virtuous woman. Oh, she's like that gem that has been mined out. Oh, we recognize the value of this. Also, like precious gems from the earth, she adds value to all those who have influence or have her influence in their lives. If you notice there in Proverbs 31, we read the verses, it's familiar to you. But if you pay attention there, you will notice something about this virtuous woman. She enriches her husband. She enriches her children. She enriches her household. She reaches out to the poor and enriches them. And she even enriches her community. She adds value to everything that she touches. That's what he's trying to tell us here. These women are not only virtuous, but they are valuable. They have a value in the sight of God. That's why he would say that let not your adornment be with the outward adorning of the flesh, but with the inward, a spirit of the heart, is what Peter would write and tell us. Because that is what is valuable in the sight of God. A heart that lives in the wisdom of God. And that heart will enrich all those who come into contact and is influenced by it. The influence of a wise woman cannot be measured merely in dollars or possessions, because her impact is eternal. You know, the world may not always recognize her value. It doesn't do that, does it? It's not what Hollywood presents as a successful woman. You know, if Hollywood was to have the picture of a successful woman, it might present her as someone like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was a Supreme Court justice. She rose to the very top of her field. It might present someone like a first lady, a president's wife of the United States of America. It might present her as a Hollywood star who has all the glamour and all the fame that she could ever want. That's how the world presents this value. Oh, but God presents it differently, doesn't he? He says that virtuous woman will add value to everyone who comes under her influence. Remind you, women today, you have value in the sight of God. God says your price is far above rubies. A wise woman becomes a channel through which God blesses future generations. That is why this chapter matters so much on Mother's Day, because Proverbs 31 is not ultimately praising perfection. It is praising wisdom that is embodied in everyday faithfulness. Everyday faithfulness. So number one, she is valuable. Number two, she makes a home. If you got your Bibles, you could go back to Proverbs 9 and verse 1. Toward the end of Solomon's description of wisdom that he gives in the first 9 chapters of this book, we find these words in verse number 1 about wisdom. He said, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars." And he describes the house in a little more detail later on in the chapter. But when Proverbs describes wisdom, it pictures wisdom as a woman building a house. Now I will tell you, in the days of Solomon, women didn't build houses in this sense. They were not architects. They didn't design the houses. They didn't build the houses. They weren't construction workers. But Solomon is doing something very intentional here. He is using a word here to describe more than just a structure, although he uses structural terms. He's describing not necessarily what we would call a house, which might be made out of brick and mortar and sheetrock and electrical wires and all these things. He's describing a home. He's saying that wisdom is able to build a home, and it does so properly. That's significant, because wisdom does not merely give information, but wisdom creates stability, creates order, creates security, and ultimately provides for flourishing. And when we arrive at Proverbs 31, we see that same picture lived out in everyday life. This woman manages her household. She provides food for her family. Oh, she oversees her responsibilities. She plans plans for the future ahead of her. She invests her money wisely. She strengthens her family and she cares for others. She is literally building a home, not merely constructing a structure, but cultivating home life. So what's the difference between a house and a home? As I said, a house is made of wood, brick, concrete, furniture, many other materials. But a home is built with love. It's built with sacrifice. It's built in prayer. It's built with wisdom. It's built upon peace. It's built by faithfulness. Oh, and it is ultimately held together by godliness. Anyone can purchase a house. Only wisdom can build a godly home. A house in the book of Proverbs, the theme, we find it often in the book of Proverbs, or ever so frequently within the book of Proverbs, this idea of a house. He talks about the house of the godly. He talks about the dwelling place of the fool within the book of Proverbs. But the idea of a house is much bigger than the physical building. It represents stability. It talks about legacy, generational blessing, spiritual influence. A godly home becomes a sanctuary from the chaos of the world. And it becomes a place where children can learn truth, or where character can be formed, where God is honored, where love is modeled, where faith is lived out in everyday life. That's a home. Thank God for every mother in here. You didn't just have a house, you turned it into a home. Made it a place where God's honored, children are loved, people are reverenced. That's why Proverbs repeatedly emphasizes the power a woman has either to build or to damage a home. If you got your Bibles, you could go back there. You don't have to. But Proverbs 14 and verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Notice, both women are doing something. They're both actively involved in doing something. You have what some people have termed as lady wisdom and lady folly, or woman folly, as some people call her. These two metaphorical women, and one of them is putting and building together her home in proper order, and the other one is busy tearing down not only her home, but the homes of others. Oh, everywhere she goes, there is destruction. Oh, one is strengthening the home, the other is tearing it apart. The foolish woman destroys through neglect, through bitterness, through ungodliness, through laziness, through harshness, through self-centeredness, and through a lack of wisdom. But the wise woman builds her home intentionally. She understands that homes do not drift into spiritual health by accident. Strong homes are built through daily acts of wisdom. Sometimes we might imagine building a home only in drastic moments, but home building happens quietly. Many times, just teaching children. Ladies, encouraging a weary husband. I'm not here to tell you that your husband's always going to be right. I'll be the first to admit it, okay? Ladies, I'm a husband. I'm not always right. For that 1% of the time, I'm not right. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. That's totally a joke, okay? But there's times your husband don't need your criticism. You might be very well right in your point, but he don't need your criticism. He might need you to come alongside of him. Just say, hey, this might be a mess, but no, I'm praying for you. Oh, wives that are able to maintain peace in their homes. That is becoming more and more rare the further we go. You know how many homes I've seen? I've said it before, about nobody here. If that wife would learn how to maintain peace in that home, rather than letting gossip continue, that home would know a lot more peace. I've seen it. Ladies, I'm not here to accuse you of anything, but be the keepers of the peace of the home. The husband's the protector, according to God. But you got to help maintain the peace, practicing forgiveness, creating order, speaking kindly, leading spiritually through your example before your children, praying faithfully. Many of these things never make the headlines. The world may call them small, but heaven calls them wisdom. Oh, it connects directly to what Paul says there in Titus chapter number 2. And he says these words in verse number 4. He talks about that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be keepers at home. He says that's the job of the older women to the younger women within the church. He said that they may be, I like that phrase, keepers at home. You say, what does that mean? The phrase keepers at home does not mean that women are insignificant. Doesn't mean they're incapable. Doesn't mean they're restricted in their usefulness. The idea carries the thought of being guardians, managers, or protectors of the home. They keep that home. They guard that home. I understand, physically speaking, the man is called to be the protector of the home. I can point multiple passages out for that. But ladies, oh, can I remind you that you have a job to guard your homes as well? Oh, be such a woman. This is what wisdom does. It guards the home. It means recognizing the spiritual importance of the home and giving oneself to its care and cultivation. Paul is elevating the importance of the home, not diminishing the women in involved in it. Our culture often treats the home as secondary. You know, it don't really matter. As long as they get a good education, the kids get a good education, as long as they get into certain clubs and certain abilities, as long as they have the nice career at the end of the day and they have the degree hanging on the wall, you've been successful. But God says, no, 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 no. Oh, wisdom teaches that a godly example of a mother will do more than lifetimes of education ever could. I'm not saying education isn't important. You understand what I'm saying? It has to have its place behind wisdom. The home is where worldviews are shaped, where values are taught, where character is formed, where future leaders are influenced, where faith is passed down, and much of that shaping influence happens through a mother's wisdom. A wise mother helps to establish the spiritual atmosphere of the home. Not perfection, but spiritual health. Ladies, just ask you once again on Mother's Day, how's the health of your home? You don't have to answer me. Do you know the spiritual health of your home? Do you keep your finger on the pulse of it? Do you actively pray to maintain it? Oh, because this lady, wisdom, and what we strive for, she's able to make a home and to keep a home. Number 3, she speaks truth. If you got your Bibles there, know this. If you go back to the beginning of Proverbs, you don't have to do this, but if you'll remember with me, in chapter number 1, chapter number 3, there's several other places as well. Lady Wisdom is presented as this woman crying out in the street. She lifts up her voice in the street. She cries out in the public square. She calls out to the simple. She warns the foolish. And she instructs anybody who is willing to listen to her. Her wisdom is never silent. Well, when you come to Proverbs 31, we see the same characteristic embodied in this virtuous woman. Notice verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This woman does not merely possess wisdom privately, she communicates it. Her speech becomes an instrument through which wisdom is imparted to others. And that is one of the greatest powers that God gives to a wife and to a mother. The power of influence through your words. Your words matter. Use them wisely. This is not describing mere intelligence. It's not just talking about education. It's not verbal ability. A person can be highly educated and still speak foolishly. Biblical wisdom is not about having information. It is about having truth govern the heart and therefore shape the way we speak. But I want you to notice the balance of the verse real quick. We're almost done. Won't be much longer. The balance of this verse. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In other words, Truth governs her words. She speaks what is right. She speaks what is helpful. She speaks what is edifying. She speaks what is spiritually sound. And she speaks what is morally discerning. Her words carry substance. But the verse doesn't end there. She doesn't just speak in wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She doesn't just tell the truth. She does it with love and kindness. Can I tell you, I've had people cut me with the truth before. You can do so unkindly, okay? Kindness governs her tone. She does not weaponize the truth. She does not use words merely to wound, to embarrass, to belittle, or to dominate. Her wisdom is wrapped in grace. It parallels what Paul's instruction to the church in Ephesus was. He said, but speaking the truth in love. They both got to be present, okay? Biblical wisdom always balances truth with love. Conviction with compassion, honesty with gentleness. Some people speak the truth without kindness and they become harsh. Others speak with kindness without the truth and become compromising. But godly wisdom does both. The wise woman knows when to correct, how to encourage, when to remain silent, how to calm conflict, how to instruct patiently, and how to build others up when the time is right. Her tongue is governed by wisdom. Nowhere in the influence of a woman's words is more powerful than in her home. With her tongue, she can instill confidence or insecurity. You can do that. You can build faith or spread fear. You can encourage righteousness or tolerate compromise. You can heal wounds or deepen them the worse. How many people still hear the echoes of their mother's words decades later? Yeah, there's some things my mom said growing up and I still remember them. Some good things. I remember when I first got saved, I was 13 years old. I didn't know much what to do. I just knew the Lord had saved me and I wanted to do whatever He had for me. I didn't have anybody come up to me and tell me, hey, now that you're a believer, start reading this part of the Bible. Well, you know what I did? I don't know. Don't ask me why I did it, okay? 13-year-old me. I opened up to the book of Esther and I started reading the book of Esther. I remember I started reading the book of Esther and I'm like, well, I mean, that's a good story, but man, I'm not saying, I found a lot more in there since, okay? I remember one day my mom come back there. She knocked on my door. I was sitting down reading. She said, I don't know why. She said, I just felt to tell you. She said, go to the book of Galatians and start right there and read all the way through the book of Revelation. She said, read those epistles, those short epistles of Paul. She said, and pore over them and begin to memorize some of them. I'm going to tell you what, that piece of advice from my mother changed my spiritual life. I want 2 weeks a Christian. And my mom come and did that. The Lord had laid it on her heart to come tell her son to read through the letters of Paul. And I've never looked at them the same. Because you know what? She was wanting to speak life. She was wanting to encourage me. I didn't get that from the pastor. I didn't get that from the visiting evangelist. I got it from my mom. And there's been times the Lord has used her in that way to help me as a Christian. Because God realized that the influence of her words would carry weight in my life. Ladies, let me remind you, your words carry weight. I hope and pray that the weight is truth, encouragement, scripture, prayer, and wisdom. But others in this room today probably can tell of wounds from careless or destructive words. And I can tell you, it might mean something when somebody in the church aisle cuts you, but when it's your own mother, it cuts 10 times worse. Be careful of your words, even after your children are grown. That's why Proverbs places such emphasis on speech. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What a powerful testimony it is when a woman's words and her consistent living all bring peace instead of chaos, healing instead of division, truth instead of deception, and grace instead of bitterness. I've got one more point, okay, and I'll be done. But can I just say this real quick? You know how many times I have found a young lady in church, and you talk to them, and you find out that they are bitter and they are hurt. And I'll sit down with my wife present, and I'll hear their story of their bitterness, and almost 95% of the time, it begins with my mother. I'm just telling you from personal experience. My mother, this is the way she acted. When somebody hurt her, this is the way she reacted. When she was mistreated, then she come home and mistreated us. I have heard that story too many times. I'm just to remind you, your words carry weight. And it will carry weight into the years to come. Speak truth. Speak it in love. Let it be with encouragement. Oh, I hope and pray our children can rise up and say one day, I heard my mom speak truth, and I felt her do it with kindness and love. I watched whenever somebody hurt her, she didn't get bitter, she got better. I watched whenever somebody mistreated her, she didn't mistreat them in return, but rather she showed them the love of Jesus. Oh God, let it be. Some of you have watched your mothers do that, and it has affected you to this day. They may have been passed away a long time now, but you've seen it. Oh, let's look finally. Fourth thing I want to give you, she fears the Lord. At the very heart of Proverbs, indeed at the very foundation of all true wisdom, is this great truth. Proverbs 9 and verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. This is where wisdom begins. Not with education, not with experience, not with talent, not with personality. Wisdom begins with a right relationship to God. A heart that reverences Him. A heart that submits unto Him. And lives in humble awareness of His presence. And fittingly, as Proverbs comes to a close, this is the final and highest praise given to the virtuous woman. Beyond her ability to keep a home, beyond her ability to help her husband, beyond her ability in entrepreneurship, beyond all of that. In verse number 30, this is what it says. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the secret behind everything else that can be admired in such a woman. Why is she trustworthy? Why is she diligent? Why is she compassionate? Why is she wise in her speech? Why does she build her home and her family so faithfully? Because she fears the Lord. That's the foundation of it. She fears God. There is not one woman in this room or on this planet that perfectly fulfills Proverbs 31 all the time. But can I tell you, every, not just woman, but man as well in this room, we need to be categorized as those who fear the Lord. Because that will be the foundation of everything else. If you are faithful, it will be because you fear the Lord. If you are trustworthy, it will be because you fear the Lord. If you show compassion, let it be because you fear the Lord. The ultimate beauty of this woman is not in her love for her husband, her care for her children, or her outward beauty or work ethic. It's because physical beauty fades. Time changes every single face, and youth does not remain. But a woman who fears the Lord possesses something that will not fade with time. Fear of the Lord never gets wrinkles. It does not age, but it only gets better. Her beauty deepens with time when she fears the Lord. As the years pass, her faith becomes stronger. Her wisdom becomes richer. Her prayers become more powerful. Her influence becomes broader. Her testimony becomes more radiant. You know, I remember So we're getting ready to honor our ladies this morning. I remember my teenage years, even as a Christian. There's a little part of me felt like, you know, my parents just don't know what all this is about. I'm being honest. You know, I think there's a, you know, something more to life than they really know about. I struck out on my own, 18 years old, ready to conquer the world, okay? I was a Christian. I was ready to get out on my own, ready for some independence, all right? Through my 20s, I started learning something. My parents were getting a lot smarter. You know the story. It wasn't they were getting a lot smarter. It was I was catching up to where they've always been. In my 30s, I look at them and I say, man, they knew something about something. Those times my mom set me down. I remember there's a few times we stand all over the building. Getting ready to call the ladies up front. We got a gift for you today. We're going to pray over you and ask God to bless you. I remember there was a couple times growing up, one specific instance. I wanted to go do something. It was a church event. I'll tell you that. It was a church event. I wanted to go to it. I asked my mom permission. And she almost always let me go to church events. I mean, it was just not, she never fought me on that. I remember one specific instance. I asked to go. She said, no. I said, why, Mom? I want to go. It's a revival. I want to go. No. Well, you know what I did? What a lot of other teenagers done, what you probably did when you were a teenager, I went and asked my dad. Oh, you look at me funny. I'm just telling you what I did. I went and asked my dad, hey, Dad, can I go to this church, man? Well, have you asked your mom? Yeah, I asked her. What did she say? No. Well, why are you asking me? The answer's no. I'm not going to go against your mother. And my dad knew the wisdom of that. I couldn't understand it. Well, you fast forward about 10 years, and I found out some things that were going on. My mom told me, she said, I don't know what it was. She said, Lord, just put it in my heart. No. She didn't know what was going on. She found out later some situations. I'm not saying I would have gotten involved in it. But my mom had enough wisdom to say, no. Enough leading of the Spirit to say, no. Can I remind you, ladies, today, you don't have to be Wonder Woman to make a difference. Be prayerful. Be mindful. Try to live in wisdom. Be led of the Spirit of God. And you never know what effect that might have on somebody, especially your children. So this is what I want to do today. All the ladies of our church, if you would, do you come up front? If your husband's here with you, I want him to stand next to you. If your children are here, I want them to stand in front of you and your husband. Come on up front as we fill in around the front of this church. We got a gift for all the ladies, not just the mothers. We got a gift for you. I'm going to pass them out in a moment. But before we pass out any gifts, do any of that, however we got to fill in, it's okay. Make it work. Before we do any of that, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God's blessing. Because I want to say I recognize the value of wise women. The Bible recognizes that. Our homes need it. Our church needs it. And God will honor it. So this is what we're going to do. Stand next to my wife. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today Oh, for the women of this church, some are mothers, some grandmothers, some have grown children, some have had no children. But regardless of where they are today, Lord, you recognize the value of a wise woman and one who ultimately lives in the fear of the Lord. Let that be the defining mark of the ladies of this church, that we live, number one, in the fear of the Lord, and that the wisdom they possess is to be valued, Lord. Some of the elder ladies of this church, Lord, they have wisdom to impart to the younger. And I pray, as the scriptures declare, let them teach those who will listen, and let them proclaim what your word has declared. Oh, that they, those who follow behind, if they serve the Lord will prove himself faithful. God, minister in this church. Use us for your glory. God, bless the homes of this church, Lord, and raise up those who come behind, oh, to do your will. Father, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you today. Amen, amen, amen. Grab these gifts and come around to the ladies.